It takes truly special people to work with students with special needs. Today we meet some of those talented professionals on this episode of The Common Good.
Hello and welcome to The Common Good, where we showcase the achievements of members of our community that contribute to Southwest Washington and beyond in a positive way.
Part 2 of 2 episodes, Stephen welcomes guest Nick Hernandez, the job coordinator for GATE, Margot Reston and McKenna Stack, speech and language pathologist, job coach Catherine Kellett, and our KXRW job coach Jasmine Stanley.
In the last episode, we kind of got a sense of, you know, who you were and the kind of work you did. And we kind of touched on, the idea of forgetting about labels and worrying about what are the specific needs of students. Now, the reality is that all students have specific needs. Just some of them don't have a label. So what are some of and this is open to everybody now. What are some of the challenges that you've seen? What are some of the solutions for those challenges? Like if you say to somebody, it's like somebody isn't good at such a thing, you know, and we do this. So like examples of that.
One of those I think that I've learned since I've been at GATE is just processing time for mm-hmm. students. You can ask a question, give a direction, and some students just might need a little more time to process that. And if I or a supervisor doesn't allow that and repeats that instruction, it can just further that processing time. And so it's giving space for students to take in the question, the direction, and then process. And then often they'll just come out with the right answer or the right response. And it's just giving a safe space where they can take that time.
Do you ever have students and they come up with a solution. They're not using the words that you would normally hear, but you're like, you know, come to think of it, the way that you're stating that, that's a great way to think of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our students are intelligent. They are hard workers, and they often will find a way to a solution or solving the problem, getting the job done. And it might be something different than what we anticipated, but as long as the work is getting done and they're making improvements and trying their best, I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Like Mago, you were talking about learning as much from learning from the students the same way as that they're learning from you. What are some of the things you've learned from the students you work with?
Oh, I've learned that our students have an incredibly strong sense of social justice. I think that they see fairness, and they also we work a lot on perspective taking too, and I think that that is good because we all have the perspective, not just us bestowing, again trying to influence a perspective, but just trying to ask what do they have to offer. I also noticed the power of repetition. I think that lots of times, when we get to practice a skill over and over and over, you see that kind of ownership happen in the students. Then also getting them to develop this sense of who they are and kind of when they tell me, Ms. Mago, that's not helpful. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for telling me. I won't do that. So.
Now, McKenna, you're autistic.
Yes.
You're dealing with, you're helping kids who are autistic. Mm-hmm. Is it easier to help kids who are autistic, or is it easier to help kids who are not autistic?
What a great question. I definitely think that I relate to autistic students more in a way that I never really expected until I realized how much I connect with autistic students. I think that with students that aren't autistic, it goes back to what I was saying earlier of doesn't really matter what the disability is. I am just meeting a student where they're at and what their needs are. But I do feel like with my autistic students that, there is such a, like I'm bringing in my experience as an autistic person. So I know to read a room and see how neurodiversity affirming it is, for example, what kind of sensory things are happening and what a student might be feeling and kind of anticipating those needs and not necessarily having that be the truth, but having that be an option, if that makes sense. So working through that and making sure, again, that the student has their voice to say what they need in that environment. For example, thinking about a work environment that is really loud. And, you know, I can walk into that environment and know, because I'm autistic and my sensory needs are loud environments, I can think, oh, do I need to talk about this with my student? And how do I facilitate them to accommodate themselves? You know, do they need a break? Do they need a sensory break? Do they need noise-canceling headphones for their work site?
All right. So this is a question I really have been wanting to ask.
Okay.
And I'm going to start with Catherine, but I want you to all answer this question. What are the most fun parts of your job?
See, I'm lucky in a sense that my job and my day is spent all 6 hours. Well, not all 6 hours. We're 4 hours. All 4 hours, I am with the students. I'm in the thick of it. You know, I'm in the conversations. I'm everywhere. And I think the most fun thing for me is to see the progression of a student over the time that we have. Because, you know, who somebody is their first year coming into the program is so different from where they end up, you know. And this is my fourth year working in this position. So the students that I started with are now this year graduating. And it's like night and day for some students to see, you know, a fresh 18-year-old coming into the classroom and they're like, I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm really struggling with regulation. I don't want to work. I just want to be a kid forever. And by the time that they turn 22, they are working full shifts. They are excited for their independence. They are stronger in their social connections with people. And they are also really proud of themselves. I think it's a huge moment to see a student feel good about themselves.
It sounds like one of the most important skills they learn is advocating for themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And learning the importance of boundaries too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a lot of times where you're in this position, you think, okay, well, my job here is to learn how to do a job. But within that, you also kind of learn, okay, well, how do I have relationships with people in this job? How much is too much sharing? How much is not enough sharing? Who can I talk to? Who can I feel comfortable with? And just really having a better sense of yourself over the time that you've been here. And, you know, just how do you apply that to life?
And Nick, what would you say is the most fun part of your job? And you can't say it's going to get coffee.
That's mine.
I mean, that's part of it, but what are some other fun parts of the job?
I like being able to push students to go beyond what they're comfortable with in terms of trying a new work site. Often I'll get the idea of like, well, I've never done this, or I'm not sure if I can do this. And I can say, you know, just go give it a try, save space. And when they come back to me and just said, that was a really fun day, I enjoyed that. You know, recently I had a student, I said, I want you to try this commercial kitchen. I want you to try some baking. And he said, I've never done that before. I'm not in the kitchen. I said, I think this will be good for you. It expands your horizons. And within a couple of weeks, I visited the work site. I walked in. He said, hey, come here. Try this whipped cream. It's going to be the best whipped cream you've ever tasted in your life. And he was that confidence. And it was pretty good whipped cream, yeah. And so it's being able to see that in their eyes. And
It's one thing that's interesting is that a lot of general education is, oh, you know, I teach 11th grade English, and then the kid comes in, they finish 11th grade English. You never see them again, like ever. You don't even see them in the hallways passing by. You get to really see how things change. Mago, for you, mm-hmm. What's the most fun part of your job?
I think it's not dissimilar to Nick. I think that when we started to get into work sites this year, and as they progressed and became a little more comfortable with the work site, my favorite thing to do is go in and say, like, teach me your job. And they would walk me through steps of, like, at Yard and Garden or something, like, this is how you do, this is how you fill the bag, this is how you, nope, don't do it that way. And I kind of mimic them and want to, you know, shadow them. And I think it's so cool that they take almost the teaching role, and I'm following them. I'm learning. And I'm like, wow, this is super cool.
Now, you're a speech pathologist, yeah. And kids use a lot of inventive mm-hmm. words. Mm-hmm. You pick up any good ones?
Oh, no. I wish I was better at, like, slang. I am not that good at it. In fact, when I try to ask what any of them mean, they just look at me blankly like, oh, gosh, okay.
6'7"?
Yeah. And actually, I asked what 6'7" was, and, and all of them unanimously say, we don't actually know.
Yeah, nobody knows. So McKenna, what would you say is the most fun part of your job?
I love connecting with my students. I just think they are some of the coolest people I have ever met.
It's working with the kids and seeing just feeling that connection that really works for you.
It does. And the organic connection, you know, whether we are having lunch together or, you know, saying good morning to each other or catching up about something that happened at work that they're proud of or even like a struggle that they encountered at work. I just think that my moments of connections with students where they trust me with information is some of my favorite moments of my life.
And Nick, I have one question for you before we, and I haven't given you a lot of time for this, but would you say that kids that enter the program, if they had to go on and be out in the community at, you know, at work sites, you know, getting jobs, finding places to live, do you think that they would succeed without the GATE program?
I think we are an important bridge to that. We do have students who have paid work, even in the program, and we allow that. If they have a paid job, they can certainly do that and still be in the program. But I think what we do is we provide that meaningful connection in terms of this is who you are in your community. You have an important voice. You can contribute in a meaningful way. And we provide on-the-job training for that. And so I think what we do is we serve an important bridge to allow them to gain those skills, to be as independent as possible for them. And we're excited when they graduate. And if they volunteer or at paid work, it's always awesome to see them take what they've learned here and that confidence that we've, I think, instilled, which is, I think, what all of our staff does is try to build their confidence up to know that they have an important contribution to society.
So people in Vancouver and Clark County should know that you're unleashing a whole bunch of kids who are really ready to be a part of the society, work, you know, everything.
Definitely.
So we have 10 seconds. Does anybody have something really, really insightful to say in the last 10 seconds?
We work with adults.
Yes.
That's what's insightful is they're not just kids. They're full adults.
Adults.
Everybody who's younger than 40 is a kid.
There you go.
Well, thanks for coming in. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jasmine, who's been the job coach at this location for this year. But thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure.
You're listening to The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM with today's host, Stephen Glickman. His guests today are Nick Hernandez, the jobs coordinator for GATE, Mago Weston and McKenna Stack, who are the speech-language pathologist, job coach Catherine Kellett, and our KXRW job coach, Jasmine Stanley. We've been talking to Nick, Catherine, Mago, and McKenna about their experiences with the program. When we return, we will continue our discussion with Jasmine Stanley.
Support for KXRW comes from OnPoint Community Credit Union, with 8 branches in Southwest Washington offering checking, credit cards, home equity lines of credit, and more. OnPoint. People are the point. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity. Learn more at onpointcu.com.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in the Uptown Village neighborhood. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Welcome back to The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. Your host for this episode is Stephen Glickman, and his guests today are Nick, Mago, McKenna, Catherine, and Jasmine, who are all educators working in and with Vancouver School District's GATE program, our discussions continue with KXRW job coach Jasmine Stanley.
Jasmine, I would say welcome to the studio normally, but you're here every Tuesday. Yep. And you're helping out with GATE. And I saved us some time for you, especially because you've been kind of our star player. You're the job coach for this location this year, and you've been helping the kids out. And were you doing it? You were last year. You were doing
yes,
it.
Last year as well.
Yeah, yeah. So you really have gotten some expertise in helping the kids emotionally and intellectually, working through all their stuff. Mm-hmm. So considering that you're such a rock star with this, we got to get to your backstory. And so, did you start out in paraeducation?
So I didn't actually. I came to paraeducation kind of more of a winding path, but pre-COVID shutdowns, I worked in movie theaters for about 13 years. Then shutdowns happened and movie theaters were not open, so I was unemployed for a little bit, which led me into elder care. And then through there, some friends I had that worked in the school system were like, why don't you check out paraeducation, you know? And yeah, so I did, and I love it. So,
what was your educational background that led you to being able to do that?
So I just have a high school background. I didn't have any college, but there's proficiency tests to get into the position. And yeah, that was it.
It's one of those things where it's very vocational. You do the work, get to do the work.
Exactly, yeah. And I would say just from experience, like working in movie theaters, I had already had sort of a basis of working with younger people, with working with teenagers and kind of teaching those life skills just by way of being a manager at a theater. You know, you kind of
So how long have you been a paraeducator?
This is my fifth year. Yeah.
If I could just say paraeducator. It's a tough word.
No, it is.
What are some of the surprises that about being a paraeducator for you? What are some of the things you didn't really, that you're like, wow, I wouldn't have thought of that?
Yeah. Well, I think just because it wasn't something I had originally considered until someone suggested it, I felt at first kind of nervous that I wouldn't be able to do it. It just seemed sort of daunting in a way. But so I guess that was a bit of a surprise getting into it and realizing like how suited I was for the position. Otherwise, I guess how rewarding it is. I kind of knew it would be, but it's been a lot more rewarding work than I expected it to be. So that's been very nice.
So your strength coming into it was that you cared.
Yeah.
It seems as though would you say that empathy is something that you highly value?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I had received feedback in that realm in my previous positions where people would say I was really good at like navigating difficult situations between employees and things like that. And just
well, you've been able to work with me.
Hey!
I mean, that can't get any more difficult than that. What would you say are some of the really fun things that you've experienced in the GATE program?
Just every day working with students, I really enjoy that. It's nice to be helpful in that sort of difficult space in life where you're growing up and you're suddenly like facing responsibilities you haven't had before. Being able to, support people going through that is just really, really rewarding. I love it.
So you're like almost in the room where it happens.
It's like
you're a star of Hamilton.
You get to see it happen. It's really great. You'll see someone struggle with a particular thing, and then 3 months later, they're doing it like it's nothing. And just seeing that growth is really inspiring. Yeah.
Do you feel like you've gotten better at it?
Yes, absolutely. I think at first I was a little unsure or certain things. I'd be a little more maybe shy in approaches with people. But yeah, now I feel a little more confident in my ability to navigate things. And yeah.
Is there something that you would think that maybe the general public doesn't know that you've seen firsthand that you're like, people should know this?
Yeah, I would say both from the job and also from having friends previously that experienced disabilities, I would say the main thing is just underestimating people with disabilities. Like, I see that a lot and people are capable of all kinds of things and it's good to give people a chance, I think.
So in some cases, the disabilities are, hey, you just have to know that this exists and you have to work around that the same way that you'd have to do that with just about anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I grew up with a friend who only had, she was born with just one arm and one leg. So I just knew, okay, she needs a little bit of mobility assistance throughout the day. That's it. Easy enough, you know? Yeah.
That's really, that's a lot. I mean, especially if you see that when you're younger.
I was very lucky with that. Yeah.
When I grew up, especially, disability was almost like something to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
I think now it's just like, hey, you just need to know this mm-hmm. so we can navigate.
Yeah. We've got all kinds of different people with different abilities and yeah.
What would you say is the biggest challenge that you faced as a paraeducator in the GATE program?
I would say something that can be challenging is that we are out in the public quite a lot. So that is different from like a general education setting. So just managing, being aware of like safety and stuff as you're moving through the community. We do a lot of public transit. So just making sure I'm keeping track of every student we have and nobody's lost and nobody's, you know, running into dangerous situations in the community and things like that. But
is it hard to avoid problems? You know, is it hard to maintain safety, or is it actually pretty easy?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. It just takes, you know, we always say keep your head on a swivel. So it's just a matter of like being aware of where you are in the community and make sure you're not going to go trip on that open pit in the street from construction workers or
What do you see is the future for paraeducation? Like, is there something that needs to change within GATE, you think, or is there something that needs to change within paraeducation?
Yeah, gosh, that's a good question. I feel pretty confident in the way our program handles things. So it's hard to think of critique I have there. But I guess going back again to just knowing that students have maybe more ability than you're initially thinking. I have seen, you know, instances where people were maybe, and I've been guilty of this myself, like maybe doing too much for a student, trying to be too helpful. And it's like, you know, we got to encourage some independence and
So you're, as someone who's in the GATE program, as a paraeducator, it sounds like you feel pretty confident about the abilities of the program, the people that you work alongside of in the program. What are some of the things that you see as, you know, that you've seen your coworkers and the people that you work with, you know, that you're like really impressed with?
Gosh, yeah. I would say abilities around communication. I think our team is really good at sharing our insights with each other and also taking critique really well, you know, so we're all very comfortable telling each other, hey, you know, I saw this and I think that they're dealing with this a little more, so maybe we can adjust our approach here, you know, and we're all very open to hearing critique, open to sharing it. And what I've been impressed by, I think mostly just the ideas people come up with this to problem solve. Sometimes I'm like, I would have never thought of that. Perfect.
You have an example of that?
I know. Gosh. Mostly it's been in like communication, trying to think of a specific example. But like say, you know, I'm often someone who's maybe got a lot of words. So I like to talk through problems maybe too much. But then someone will suggest, you know what, that student gets a little overwhelmed by too much communication. So I'm like, okay. I can adjust and, you know, use fewer words.
Do you have a background at all in performing? Were you like a theater kid in high school or anything?
That's so funny. You should ask. Yes, I was a theater kid in middle school, more a little bit into high school. Yeah. And then I got into more visual arts. But yeah.
And did that background help you in what you're doing now?
Yeah, I definitely think the process of acting and having to put yourself in someone else's shoes is really helpful to understand other people. Those skills have definitely served me well. Yeah.
Is there anything that you would want the public to know about what you're doing as a paraeducator or just the GATE program in general?
Yeah. I think the program is just really great and should be honestly available more widely to all kinds of students. Just getting that extra, you know, foot up in the world when you're trying to figure out like, oh, how do I balance a checkbook? How do I, you know, hold a job, find an apartment? Those are skills that a lot of young people just go into the world without much knowledge about, and they just kind of have to figure it out.
So I can't think of a single, I always struggle with the word for it, you know, mainstream or, you know, but like, who's a kid who doesn't need to know those things?
Yeah, who doesn't?
I think that, you know, what kid shouldn't know about how to manage their money? What kid shouldn't know about how to write a resume or how to get a job? I mean, these are all.
I think all of them do. Yeah.
So would you say that there are skills that you focus on very front of mind in GATE that actually could translate to all education?
Yeah. Let's think. So I would say just self-regulation, being able to manage your feelings about how your life is moving is very important. How to do the things that are hard, but we know we need to do to have a better outcome later. So like things like filling out job applications, going to interviews. It's not very comfortable, but it's really important to know to have a better future.
How much of the GATE time is in classroom versus mm-hmm. out in the community?
So we're mostly out in the community. We're definitely focused on job preparation and life skills, but we do have academics as well, but I would say that's...
So it's lesser. Kind of a very applied thing. It's like, yeah. Hey, this is how you live your life.
Yeah, yeah. And so our academics are also very tied to that. So like assignments will be things like fill out a bus schedule. We're trying to go here. How do you get there if you use public transit? Or, you know, mock interviews we do every year. So you have like a fake interview process so that you know how to do that when you're doing it in real life. Yeah.
So it's in what I'm hearing is the GATE faculty mm-hmm. works together very closely, shares a lot of information. Mm-hmm. Would you say that in a traditional high school that's the case?
Yeah, it'd be hard for me to say because I haven't worked in a traditional high school, but I do think because we're a smaller program, certain matters of communication are a little easier because we're a smaller team. But yeah.
Now, when you came in, were you given kind of warnings? Hey, be, you know, look out for this. This is a common pitfall, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. We receive a good amount of training ahead, just about things that might show up with certain disabilities and how to be prepared for those. Best practices in responding to those things. So we get some good training on like. If, say, someone has issues with emotional regulation, how to best approach that and get them back to baseline and calm.
So the most important question before we mm-hmm. wrap up is you're going to be back here next year helping out the students as a job coach at KXRW?
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah.
Is there something that you think of? Well, like at this job site, is there something that you think of, I want to make sure this gets done? This is something that now that you're in your second year, you know, getting close to the end of it, is there something that you're thinking like, hey, I think that students, you know, what they can get out of this particular program? And are you starting to kind of formalize that in your head?
Yeah. I definitely think the being part of an interview process is also a very good skill that we hadn't yet done before. Yeah. And I really look forward to having them conduct interviews, things like that, be the interviewee. I think that's another skill that could be improved. It's been a really good experience all around.
That's great. Well, thanks for being available for this program and talking a little bit about yourself. And now you get to just listen back to yourself a whole bunch of times while edit this.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening today to The Common Good on KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. I'm your host, Stephen Glickman, and I'd like to thank my guests, Nick Hernandez, the jobs coordinator for GATE, Mago Weston and McKenna Stack, who are speech-language pathologists, job coach Catherine Kellett, and KXRW job site coach Jasmine Stanley. You can visit kxrw.fm and click on The Common Good to find part one of this show. Programming like this is made possible by your generous support. If you'd like to support this program and others like it, please visit us on the web at kxrw.fm, and there you'll find the big donate button. Together, we're discovering Vancouver's voice. On behalf of show creator and producer Joe Clemens and all the volunteers and supporters who make this program possible, I'm host Stephen Glickman, and I want to thank you for listening to The Common Good. Take care.